Later, he separates him from Lot. Lot was not part of the picture. Lot was not part of the plan that God had. And then one more separation that we haven't talked about, because we talked last week about how that they conspired this thing to help God, and so he gave Sarah gave Abram what was her name? His handmaid from Egypt, and she had a child named Ishmael. And in the course of time, there was conflict between Ishmael and Isaac after Isaac was born. In fact, Sarah demanded that Abraham expelled Hagar and Ishmael, and God backed him up. So there was another separation in his life. It seems like that everything that Abraham held dear, everything that Abraham loved, he was asked to give up. And now he has the son of promise, the one that God had promised to give to him, and now something significant is fixing to happen. All of this separation, and here Abraham has this dream that God has put in his heart that he's going to be a great nation, that he's going to be blessed, and God's going to protect him, and God is going to make a great nation out of his descendants, and how that through him, every nation of the world would be blessed. And now God, in this chapter, does something that just does not make sense. It says that God tested Abraham. Let me use another word. He proved him. He proved him. See, God knew what he would do, but he needed to walk through this to prove to himself, because he didn't have to prove it to God, because God already knew what he would do. So he had to prove it. He had to walk it out. He had to walk it out. And there's many things that God asks us to do that is for our proving. And they use the word test here, but you could also use the word proved. God was not testing him to do evil. God never tests us with evil. But God asks us to do things sometimes that we don't understand. And what he's doing, he is proving us. A lot of times a soldier has to prove his weapon. What does he do? He practices with it until he's proficient with it. He's proving his skill with that weapon. So God is proving Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said. Now, notice every time that Abraham obeyed God, it seemed like that God added a promise to him. He told him something that made the vision clearer and clearer. So when God said, Abraham was probably expecting to have more insight into what God was doing. But was he in for a shock? Was he in for a shock? Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Now, it's interesting to note here that God did not count Ishmael as a son. God had cut him out. Now, God made a provision for Ishmael. He became a great nation. But he was not part of God's plan. And God did not consider him a son. Because he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Totally out of character for God. This is the only time in Scripture that God ever asked for a human sacrifice. Now, we're going to come back and talk about that in a few minutes. Because this just seems totally, because God's not into human sacrifices. You know, we understand the sheep and the goats and the, you know, all of the sacrifices that God was into, but he wasn't into human sacrifices. but he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son whom he loved. Now, Abraham loved Ishmael too, but he let him go. And now God is saying, you're going to have to let Isaac go. In fact, through your hand, he will be a human sacrifice. Seems weird, doesn't it? Verse 3. Now, here is where the proving comes in. We're going to look at Abraham's faith. At this point in his life, he is trusting God. He is trusting God to the ultimate in this thing. So we're going to look at the steps of faith that Abraham takes, because we're going to see why he is called the father of faith, the father of us all. So Abraham rose early. He did not hesitate. See, have you ever hesitated to obey God? Has God ever spoken you to do something and you hesitate? You put it off as long as you can. But Abraham didn't do that. You know what he did? He rose early. He did not hesitate. He did not balk. Now, was he having all kinds of emotions probably going on in the inside of him? Probably. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? But you know what? He obeyed. And he did not hesitate. He did not hesitate. He rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. What's he doing? He's making steps here to obey what God is saying to him. And he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering. Does this look like that he's intending on obeying what God said? Yes. He arose and went to the place which God had told him. So he started in that direction. He had everything he needed to do to carry out what God had asked him to do. Is this something that he wanted to do? No. Was he obeying? Was he trusting God in this situation? Yes. Then on the third day, that's more than just a singing group. The third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham, now listen to this. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Okay. There seems to be something awry here. God says, take him an offering. Now, if you read how that sacrifices were offered, it was not pretty. They were cut, because he had a knife with him. They were burnt. And this is what he set out to do. He set out to sacrifice his son, but when he made the statement, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Seems like a contradiction to what God said and what Abraham said. God said, you're going to sacrifice him on the mountain. He said, we will come back. Now, there's an interesting verse. We'll come back to this, but we want to go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham knew in his heart that God had made a promise to him that it was through Isaac that this blessing was going to come. So how could it come if he offered him on the sacrifice? Abraham concluded that if he offered him, that God would raise him from the dead, even from the ashes. Wow, that's big faith, isn't it? That's a big step of faith. Did he understand what was going on? No. Did he understand the implications of all of this? No. But he had a trust in God that was beyond all the circumstances and all of the contradictory evidence of what he could see. He trusted God. Listen, he's moving in faith. Now, I just want to say this. God would never ask you to sacrifice your son, okay? I got to make that plain. There's some things behind this that we're going to look at in just a second. This is the only time that God ever asks for a human sacrifice. I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. Here he's still stepping in faith. He took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "Father," he said, "here am I, my son." Now let me just say, Isaac was not a little boy at this time. He was a young man, probably in his 20s. Okay? Abraham's how old? 100 years old. Who's the strongest? I mean, who are you going to bet on? A 22-year-old and a 100-year-old man have a wrestling match? Who are you going to bet on? Okay. Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." He didn't elaborate. He just said, "God will provide." In fact, King James says, "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And, okay, watch the steps of faith. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. What's he doing? He's following through what God told him to do. He placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar. Now, evidently, Isaac was a willing participant in this thing. In fact, if you read in Josephus, there is a dialogue. And, of course, it's not biblical, so we don't know if that's the way that it actually happened. But there's a dialogue between Abraham and Isaac where Isaac willingly submits to this. So if that be the case, Isaac was walking in faith also. Verse 10, "And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Was he going to do it? Yes, he was. He was going to obey God because he knew, he believed in his heart that if he followed through with it, that God would raise him from the dead. That's big. That's faith. I don't know. I've been to lots of funerals in my life, and I've witnessed a lot of dying. I have never seen anybody raised from the dead. Have you? I never have. I've heard about it, but I've never seen it. But he believed that God would raise him from the dead. What would they say about him today? Somebody put him in a straitjacket. That guy is hearing voices. He's nuts. He obeyed God. Verse 11, "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.'" Now, many Bible scholars believe that the angel of the Lord was an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ, of Jesus. There are times that those things happened in the Old Testament. And many Bible scholars believe that this is a direct intervention of Jesus Christ called the Angel of the Lord. And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. And since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me." Now, God knew all along, but Abraham had to be proved. The faith had to be proved. See, they had a covenant. Now, let me tell you a little bit about covenant. In covenant relationship, when God and Abraham entered into a covenant, one of the things that they do is they exchange belts, which is a symbol of strength. And basically what you say in a covenant relationship, and just think about marriage being a covenant relationship. What are they saying to each other? "Everything that I have is yours. My strength is yours. My resources are yours. Everything that I am and everything that I have is yours. And everything that you have is mine. And if I need anything from you, I can ask for it. And if you need anything from me, you can ask for it." See, that's covenant relationship. And God asked Abraham for something, his son. Verse 13, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son." There's so much stuff in this. We could go weeks on this. "And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And literally it means the Lord who sees and provides. The Lord who sees and provides. Now, was he just talking about a ram in a thicket caught by its horns? Now, let's finish this up. Abraham has proved his faith. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. I wonder what Abraham thought. Oh, no. What's he going to ask for this time? Okay. "And said, by myself." Now, what if this is the Lord Jesus, this angel of the Lord? "By myself, I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, and multiply, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sands which is on the seashores. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the..." Now, there's something here. It didn't say in your seeds. It says seed. "All the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Then Abraham returned to this young men, to his young men, and they arose and went to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." There's something going on that Abraham didn't see. There's something that's going on that's a whole lot bigger than what happened on that mountain. Years later, David disobeys God. And the anger of the Lord began to strike at the children of Israel. And evidently, David was in Jerusalem because it said that the angel of the Lord had a sword drawn and was about to destroy Jerusalem. And God said, "It's enough." And he sent Gad the prophet to him. And he said, at a threshing floor. Ornan owned that threshing floor. It was in Jerusalem. And he said, build an altar there for me and make a sacrifice that this plague can be stayed. So David goes to this man, and I mean, everybody saw this angel, and this angel has his sword drawn, and he's people are dying. And he's standing there. And Ornan sees this and he hides. And David comes and finds him and says, listen, I'll give you full price for that threshing floor. I've got to sacrifice to God. And he says, hey, you can have it. And here, take the sheep and whatever it is you need to say, I'll give it to you. David says, No. I'll give you full price. I will never offer God anything that doesn't cost me something. And he bought it. And there, he built an altar. And they made the sacrifice. And the plague was stayed. And God called it the place of his dwelling. Now, it's interesting because it was on Mount Moriah. It was the same place that Abraham offered Isaac. It is the same place years later that Solomon built the temple. I was there. I saw the temple in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. That is the place that Abraham offered Isaac. That's interesting how Isaac is a type of Christ. And there's ways that we can see that. And I just want to go back just a little bit. You remember when they get to the mountain? First of all, it calls Isaac his only begotten son. Who is Jesus called? God's only begotten son. There's something big going on here. There's something about covenant. This is where the covenant of God was proved through Abraham. This is where God demanded his only son. And later, our sin demanded God's only son. And it's interesting because it says, go to the land of Moriah. That's in Jerusalem. That's where the temple is at. And offer him there as a burnt offering. So they get there. And what happens? Notice what happens. Abraham lays the wood on Isaac. Isaac carries the wood up the hill. Does that sound like something that you heard of before? That the cross was laid on Jesus and Jesus carried his own cross up the hill? And then it says that he laid the wood in order and he bound Isaac on top of the wood. Jesus was bound by nails to the cross. So there's a picture here of Calvary. In fact, the very place that sacrifice took place, within a half a mile at most, is the very site where Jesus was crucified, in the same mountains. It was the same thing. What God was saying is, you have given me your son, and now I ask for it, and now your need is that you need somebody to die for you. And through your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. I'm giving my son. I'm giving my son to die for your sins. So when God asked for this human sacrifice, he did it so that 2,000 years or 2,000 years later, he would give his son as a human sacrifice. And he didn't withhold this time. See, God dealt with a separation Remember on the cross, Jesus said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The judgment of man's sin came on Jesus. He was separated from God. Was he still God? Yeah, he was still God. But there was a separation. Sin, there was a sin separation. And judgment came on him. And then 3 days later, how long was Abraham's trek? 3 days. How long was Jesus? 3 days. He was in the grave. And then God raised him from the dead. Can you see how the Abrahamic covenant ties in to the new covenant? And how that it's so necessary. See, this is one of the reasons, guys, that we don't, as the body of Christ, we are akin to Israel. We are kin to the people of Israel, not by human blood, but divine blood. We owe everything to them. And listen, God is going to use us to help reach them. The Bible predicts, and I believe it's true, that they will find Messiah. And when Israel begins to come into Messiah, guess what's going to happen? Something great. Something great. And something terrible in this earth. This is a great story. We see Abraham go from idol worshiper to a man grown in his faith. Was he perfect? No. He still had fear. Right before Isaac was born, he tried to give Sarah away again. No, he wasn't perfect, and that's not the deal. But he was willing to trust God. And this is what we need to learn, that even in our faith, as we grow in faith, are we going to be perfect? No, but we're learning to trust God. We're learning to believe His Word. Why? Because it is He who is at work in us to accomplish His will in this earth. Listen, we play a part in this end time scenario. We, the church, the body of Christ, we play a huge part in this. And we need to wake up. We need to wake up as the church and be willing to embrace what God wants to do with the church. Amen. Whew. I feel all tingly. You know, when you talk about this stuff, it's powerful. It's powerful. The gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes that we can see what you're doing. God, we're so addicted to busy. We're so addicted to our stuff that many times we don't even take time to talk to you. And let you talk to us. Lord, wake us up. Lord, there's things that you want to do. There's things that you want to do in us. There's things that you want to do through us. May we become willing and obedient. And may we grow in our faith. Thank you, Father. Let's stand together. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad that God is speaking to us today. And what each of us need to do is ask ourselves, what is God saying to me? Where am I in this? Am I asleep? Am I growing? Am I distracted? Am I too busy? We just need to turn our hearts toward God today. I'm not going to ask the prayer team to come today. I just want you right there where you're at to begin to interact with God. You know, if you need to ask Jesus into your life, you can do that right there where you're at. And then you can come and tell one of us. But I think this is a time that God wants to do something in His church, among His people. Father, we love you today. Minister to your people today as we worship in Jesus' name. Let's worship today.